In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As fallen creatures, we people are stubborn. And unfortunately, God often has to allow misfortunes to come upon us to get our attention. We have difficulty, in many cases, paying attention when we're praying or when we're reading the scriptures. But when we have some crisis in our life, our prayer life becomes very easy for us because we're focused on this one thing that we want from God. And so that's why God often allows these things to come to us. In Psalm 31, verse 9, it says, "Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose jaws thou must hold with bit and bridle when they do not come nigh unto thee." We're not to be like that, but unfortunately too often we are. In the gospel reading, we hear about Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. And Christ primarily lived in Capernaum during his public ministry. And so he would have had a lot of interaction with Christ. And like those who were in similar positions, he probably was not very kindly disposed to Christ. He probably viewed him at least with suspicion. But he was faced with this crisis. His only child was dying. And so he came for the one person that he thought could help because he knew that Christ had healed. It's interesting to note that when you read about the hostile witnesses to the life of Christ, and that's people who are not Christians or writers of the gospel that write about Christ, you find Jewish writers, and it's interesting to note what they don't say. You never find in the Talmud, for example, that it says that Christ was a charlatan and that he didn't work miracles. They say he worked miracles by the power of the demons, but they didn't deny that he worked the miracles. And so it was a fact that he worked miracles. In fact, he worked so many miracles that we're only just given a slight taste of them in any detail in the Gospels, but we have these references here and there about how Christ healed so many here, so many there. But certain stories are given to us because they're instructive, and this is one of those stories. So in desperation, he comes to Christ. He falls at his feet and he begs him, "Please, come lay your hands on my daughter and heal her because she's dying." And it's interesting to note that he didn't have the faith of the centurion. He didn't say, "Just speak the word only and my daughter will be healed." He should have had that kind of faith. The centurion was a Gentile. He knew very little about the faith of Israel, and yet he had greater faith than this man. But Christ didn't rebuke him. He dealt with him where he was. Then you have Christ going to this man's house, and there's a crowd of people who are thronging him, and so the going is slow. And then finally you have this woman who suffered for 12 years with an issue of blood, an illness that made her ritually unclean, that made her unable to participate in the normal life of the Jewish people around her. It made her effectively an outcast, unable to have any normal contact with other people. And yet she knew that Christ was healing, and she had faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And so she did so. She reached out and she touched him. And then Christ said, "Who touched me?" And the apostles were wondering, "Why are you asking who touched me? There's people touching you all over the place." But what St. Augustine points out is there were multitudes of people who were touching him, but there was only one person that touched him with faith. And that's what made the difference. She believed that if she touched him, that she would be healed, and she was. The ritual uncleanness of the Old Testament is there. The reason why we had these ritual customs in the Old Testament was because these were an image of spiritual uncleanness. And the message to us is, as though that we are unclean, though we are sinners, though we don't have the right to ask God to forgive us, he is forgiving and merciful, and he will do so. And so he asked, "Who touched me?" Finally, she, realizing that she couldn't be hid, fell at his feet and told him the whole story. And his words to her were, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Again, he dealt with her where she was. She had an imperfect perception of him, because had she really fully known who he was, she wouldn't have been afraid to come to him openly and to ask for what she needed. But again, he didn't rebuke her. He dealt with her where she was and then raised up her understanding, explained to her that she was his daughter. And you can imagine Jairus, who's thinking, every moment's counting. My daughter's dying, and now we have this delay. It must have been very difficult. Then people came from his house and said, don't trouble the master. She's already dead. But what did Christ say? Fear not, believe only. That's what Christ says to each and every one of us. We are constantly beset with all kinds of problems in our life, difficulties, things that we wish would be resolved instantaneously, but all too often are not. And Christ's word to us is to fear not, believe only. He comes to the house. There are professional mourners. They had those in those days. They still have these in the Middle East in some places. People who came and their job was to mourn, to inspire everyone else and lead everyone else in their mourning. And when Christ said, what's all this fuss about? She's only sleeping. They knew she was dead, and they laughed at him. They mocked him, but he put them all out of the house, except for his chief disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the parents, the Jairus and his wife. And then he touched the girl, and he said, little girl, arise. In the Gospel of Mark, again, as I mentioned previously, the Gospel of Mark coming from the preaching of St. Peter, it says that he said, Talitha kumi, once again quoting exactly the words that Christ said, because when Peter told the story, he always felt the need to say exactly what Christ said in those very powerful moments that he experienced, because he was reliving what had happened. And it wasn't quite the whole story to him unless he could actually speak those words that he heard and see in his mind that wondrous resurrection of this girl. That resurrection was a foretaste of the resurrection that awaits all of us. Like Jairus, we have to wait. We all have loved ones who have gone on before us, and we have to wait for that day of resurrection. And then one day we'll have to wait for our own. But as Christ said to Martha before he raised her brother Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So like Jairus, let us wait, but let us fear not and believe only. Amen.